Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Exodus chapter 35, from verse 4 to 9, says the following. Then Moses said to the whole community of Israel, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take a sacred offering for the Lord. Let those with generous hearts present the following gifts to the Lord: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat hair for cloth, tanned ram skins and fine goat skin leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil and the fragrant incense, onyx stones and other gemstones to be set in the ephod in the priest's chest piece." From the scriptures we have just read, we see the Lord instructing the people through his servant Moses to take an offering. Now, the purpose of the offering is to construct the tabernacle and all its furnishings. And the purpose of the tabernacle was not just for them to have a nice tent, but it was for the purpose of worshiping the Lord. So this offering, we can say, was for the purpose of the worship of God. Amen? Because the tabernacle was constructed so that the people would be able to worship God. So earlier on, when Moses had gone to Egypt, into the court of Pharaoh, he announced to Pharaoh, what did he announce? "Let my people go, so that what? They may worship." And that is found in Exodus chapter 7, verse 16, which says, "Then announced to him," that is to Pharaoh, "the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to tell you, let my people go, so they can worship me in the wilderness." Are we tracking together? So the Lord's intention right from the beginning, when he sent Moses back to Egypt, was to bring his people out so they could do what? Worship him. With this in mind, God began putting his incredible plan to work. Now you need to track with me here. God already knew what they would need to worship him, what they would need for the construction of the tabernacle. Now remember that when they are leaving, at this point when God is sending Moses back to Egypt, what are these Hebrews? They are slaves. How many of you know that slaves don't have much to their name? But God knew what they would need when they got into the wilderness. From the list we read in Exodus 35, they needed gold, silver, bronze, and all kinds of precious and expensive stones and cloth. Now, God knowing this, let me ask, where would they have gotten all these things from? In the wilderness. It would not have been possible. So God made sure that he would have supplied them for whatever they needed to go and worship him. At the point that Moses is taking this offering, it's about 4 to 6 months after leaving Egypt. They have not conquered any kingdoms or any kings. The only people they have fought are the Amalekites, who tried to ambush them. Remember the story, and Moses' hands had to be lifted. So they didn't go and attack them. They just defended themselves. So we cannot say they acquired any loot or spoils of war from the Amalekites. And that is found in Exodus chapter 17. So God had to make sure that by the time they were leaving Egypt, they were fully supplied. They needed to be fully supplied so they could fulfill the desire God's desire, which was to worship him once in the wilderness. So what did God do? We know the story. Through the series of plagues and signs and wonders, God made it possible for the children of Israel to leave Egypt fully supplied. How many of you think if they had just gone to the Egyptians and asked them, "See, you just give us some things. Give me your gold and your silver." Do you think the Egyptians would have given them? No. So God orchestrated the plagues and the signs and the wonders that he did in Egypt so that by the time they were over, the Egyptians were more than willing to give them whatever they needed so that they could go and worship God. We see this in Exodus chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. And it says, "And the people of Israel did as Moses had instructed them. They asked the Egyptians for clothing, for articles of silver and gold." Look at verse 36. "The Lord," who? "The Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites, and they gave the Israelites whatever they needed, whatever they asked for." Isn't that awesome? They gave them whatever they asked for. So they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. The Israelites left Egypt fully supplied. Amen? They left Egypt fully supplied because of what God had done and how God had orchestrated the events so that by the time that they went to and asked the Egyptians, the Bible says, like we have just read, the Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites. Now, when they got to the wilderness, the time came for the construction of the tabernacle. So they could do what? Worship. Let's see what happened. This is found in Exodus chapter 36 from verse 3 to 7. It says, "The Lord gifted Bezalel and Oholiab," these are the two workmen, "another skilled craftsman with wisdom and ability to perform any task involved in building the sanctuary. Let them construct and furnish the tabernacle just as the Lord has commanded." So Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab and all the others who were specially gifted by the Lord and were eager to get to the work. Moses gave them the materials donated by the people of Israel as sacred offerings for the completion of the sanctuary. But the people continued to bring additional gifts each morning. Finally, the craftsmen who were working on the sanctuary left their work. They went to Moses and reported, "The people have given more than enough materials to complete the job the Lord has commanded us to do." So Moses gave command, and the message was sent through the camp, "Men and women, don't prepare any more gifts for the sanctuary. We have enough." So the people stopped bringing their sacred offerings. The contributions were more than enough to complete the whole project. Hallelujah. The needs of the work of the construction of the tabernacle, the place of worship, were fully supplied. The people left Egypt fully supplied. And when the time came for the construction of the tabernacle, the need for the construction was fully supplied. And that's what I want to minister on today. Fully supplied to worship. Fully supplied to worship. We said earlier that God's desire was for his people to be set free so they could go and worship him. That desire has not changed. God still is looking for those who will worship him. We see this in John chapter 4 and verse 23 and 24, Jesus himself speaking, "But the time is coming indeed, it is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." The Father is doing what? He's looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we are to worship the Lord not just with our mouths, but with all that we have, surrendering our all to him. We worship the Lord with our song. We worship the Lord with our bodies. We worship the Lord with our energies. We worship the Lord with our faculties. We worship the Lord with our substance. Let me say that again. We worship the Lord with our song when we sing. We worship the Lord with our bodies as we dance. We worship the Lord with our energies. We worship the Lord with our faculties. And we worship the Lord with our substance. Now let me qualify each of these. When we worship the Lord with our song, it is not just about the words we sing, but it is the sincerity of the heart from which we sing. When we worship the Lord with our body, and we are dancing and rejoicing in his presence, it's not about the dance moves that we have, but it is about the purity of the body that is dancing. When we worship the Lord with our energies, it's not about our labor. For if our labor is not dependent on the Lord, then we labor in vain. When we worship with our faculties, it's not about our intellect or our skill or our talent, but the humility with which we express them. When we worship with our substance, it's not about the amounts we give, but the heart of generosity with which we give. That is what makes the difference, and that is how we worship God. For God is not after our money. God is not after your money. He's after your worship. He's after my worship. That is so important that we understand that aspect, because it's a key to generosity. And if you read those scriptures, Exodus chapter 35, I'll read it again. It says, "Take a sacred offering for the Lord. Let those with generous hearts." God qualified who was to bring an offering to him. It was those with generous hearts. It was not tell all the people. It was let those with generous hearts present the following gifts to the Lord. God is not after your money. He's after your heart. So how can we be fully supplied to worship? How then can we be fully supplied to worship? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17 and 18 says the following. Can we read it together? It's not me, this is the scriptures. "Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that you may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day." Number one, how do we come to that place where we are fully supplied to worship? We need to understand the purpose of our possessions. We need to understand the purpose of our possessions. Our possessions are for the purpose of honoring and worshiping the Lord. You say, how do you know that? Good question. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and the first produce of your entire harvest." Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. I can feel a bit of pushback, but it's okay, I'll keep going. This is a lifestyle. This is not about taking an offering. This is a lifestyle. I remember when my wife and I were about to get married, we went and we were doing premarital. Pastor sat us down and told us that you need to settle the ownership question. You need to settle the ownership question. The things that you have in your possession, who do they belong to? If you don't settle that question, you will struggle. What we have belongs to God. 100% of all you have belongs to the Lord. And guess what? He allows you to keep 90%. Isn't God good? You're not convinced. You said that everything belongs to God. So 100% of everything you own belongs to God. But he allows you to keep 90%. Isn't he good? That will shift your perspective about tithing. Instead of looking at, he wants a whole 10%. He's giving you a whole 90% to keep. Because the 100% belongs to him. If you don't understand the purpose of wealth and possessions, we'll end up misusing them. Let's go back to the children of Israel. We see them in the wilderness. They had, by the mighty hand of God, plundered Egypt as they left. And here they were in the wilderness with all this wealth fully supplied. As Moses was up in the mountain receiving instructions of how they were to use their resources, their wealth and their possessions, what was happening in the valley below? We see this in Exodus chapter 32. The people take what had given them to worship him and use it to fashion a golden calf and worship it instead. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 3 and 4 says, all the people took the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. Aaron took the gold. Which gold are we talking about here? The one God gave them as they were leaving. They're in the wilderness with all these possessions. But God has not given them the instructions yet, because that comes in chapter 36, 35 and 36. So here they are, and they don't have purpose for this wealth. So what do? Aaron takes the gold, melted it down, molded it, and shaped it into a calf, and they began to worship it. Money, wealth, and possessions will not leave you in a neutral position. It will direct your worship if you do not direct it toward worship. Money, wealth, and possessions will not leave you neutral. It will direct your worship if you do not direct it toward worship. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters. Either you master your possessions and direct them towards serving God, the true master, or they will master you. So we must understand the purpose of our possessions. Number two, allow our hearts to be moved and stirred into willingness. Like we read in verse 5 of Exodus chapter 35, God required only those who had a generous heart. Verse 21 of the same verse says, those who wanted to bring gifts to the Lord brought them to be used for the sacred tent, the worship services, and the priestly clothes. Generosity and willingness to give may not come to us naturally. What happens if you struggle? And we all struggle. Isn't it? If you can be honest, we struggle with being generous. To some people, it may come naturally, but to others, we need a bit of help. My wife is the more generous of the two of us, but she's helping. She's helping me come up higher. But I thank God. God does not leave us helpless. God does not leave us helpless. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, because God is always at work in you. And what is he doing? To make you willing and able to obey his purpose. God is at work in your heart and in my heart to make me willing. If I'm not willing, God can make me willing. Amen? If I don't have a willing and generous heart, God is able to change that if I ask him to do it. That is the work that he's doing in my heart and in your heart. God is always at work in you and I to make us willing and able to obey his purpose. That is number two, allow our hearts to be moved and stirred into willingness. Number three, each of us is to play our part and then leave the rest to God. God made sure that when they left Egypt with the wealth they needed to worship him, God made sure that happened. But each person had something different. The only thing they may not have had possibly was acacia wood, which they could easily get in the wilderness. But everything else they had, they needed, they had. The health, the wealth was not in the hands of one person. It was not with Moses or the tribal leaders. It was amongst the people. The wealth was distributed amongst God's people. And we see that as we read in Exodus chapter 12, that Moses directed all the people to go and ask the Egyptians to supply them. So God made sure that every person had something to give. And the same is true today. The resources that we need for Project Extend are fully supplied right here. They are here. You don't believe. They are here. God knew we would come here. God knew we would buy this property. God knew we would need to buy the next property. Why are we buying all this? For what purpose? Say it loudly. So that we can worship him. So don't you think then, if he has brought you here, then he has brought you with the resources that we need so that we can be fully supplied. If he did it before, why can't he do it again? When each of us does our part, we will reach our goal. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 to 8 says, and we quote this, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And Pastor gave us opportunity for that in October last year. Remember? We filled in our cards. We decided. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in your heart and in my heart to make us cheerful givers. And verse 8, and God will generously provide all you. Does that sound like fully supplied? Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So bring what God has given to you. Don't worry about what other people are going to bring. Nothing is too small and nothing is too big to bring to the Lord. Whether what you have is big or small, in your eyes or in the eyes of others, what matters is the size of your heart in God's eyes. What matters is the size of your heart in God's eyes. We see this when Jesus was standing at the contribution in the temple. And what did he say? This poor widow has given more than all these others, because her heart was generous. Think about the guy in the Old Testament as they are bringing their offerings. All he had was goat's hair. That's what he had. But others were bringing gold and silver and bronze. All he had was goat's hair. But he still had to bring his goat's hair because the Lord had commanded that he needed goat's hair. The goat's hair, as simple as it looked, was needed to make the covering of the tent to protect the precious gold and silver that were inside. So don't be intimidated with what you have or what you think you don't have. Just bring it with a big heart, with a generous heart, and that's all that matters before God. What matters is a heart of generosity. So remember, the purpose of your possessions is to do what? It's to worship God. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to have his work in our hearts to make us willing to obey. As each of us plays our part, we don't need to worry about the rest. God will take care of the rest. You may be thinking, what is this that I have amongst so many? Like the young boy and the disciples with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. They asked, what is this amongst so many? But don't worry about that. Just give it into the hands of the Lord. Let him multiply it. Let him do what he does best. You just do what God has told you to do. Let us all do what God has told us to do. Amen. Do you receive that word? Fully supplied to worship. Are you ready to do all that God has commanded you to do? God is faithful. God knows what he is doing. You're not here by accident. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to help us to settle the ownership question. Lord, that we will see and realize that all that we have belongs to you. That we will not hold on too tightly to that which you have given to us, but that, Lord, you're helping us to be generous, and that, Lord, we are inviting the Holy Spirit to work in us to bring that spirit of generosity into our hearts. Give us willing hearts and lives that are obedient to you. Help us to be generous. Help us, Lord, not to consider the size of our gift, whether it is big or small, but, Lord, that we will focus on our hearts, that we would have a generous heart. We thank you, Lord. We bless you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Do you receive that? Amen. fully supplied with a purpose. And the purpose is to worship God.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of, or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.